To the Passover service here at the LaPorte Church of Christ. We thank you for being here this evening. It is April 2nd, 2025, and let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this ever most important day that you've given us, Father. We come out of obedience to observe the Passover, to eat of your body and to drink of your blood. Lord, we're grateful and we're humbled by the price that was paid to give us freedom of our sins. Lord, we thank you, and we just ask, Father, that as we come out of obedience to you, that you shine your face down upon us, and that you bless us, and that you protect us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, can you turn it down up here? It's Passover. It's hard to believe that it's already April 2nd, and looking at the calendar today, I had to go double-check, but I thought it was interesting, and it was exciting to me to realize that this is the 25th year anniversary from when we started observing Passover here at the LaPorte Church of Christ. And I remember that day very well, very clearly. How fast those 25 years have gone by. It's just absolutely amazing. 25 years here at the LaPorte Church of Christ, Passover, and a lot of things have changed, and we've got, was excited. I hope that people got the email and are joining us through the internet. Got several people that, new people that are joining us for the first time, and this is the first Passover that they're, it's the first time that they've ever observed the Passover, so I was encouraged by that. As well, got a couple of those emails that came in today, just humbled and thankful for that. We're going to start off with a couple of songs, and the first song that we're going to start off with is Victory in Jesus, and we do have Victory in Jesus, and we've got Josh all the way from Louisiana here with us in person today, and I know that that's one of his favorite songs, so I wanted to start off with that song. We'll have Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old love story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, how his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind eye to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. And the next song that we have is I Have Returned.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like a prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home, and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem, Spain, the prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me. Eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, he's lily of the valley. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, praising the Lord, a child has come home. I have returned to the God of my Father, Creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned. Jesus of Judah, on my knee I did fall, where the wall now stands. This lesson I learned as I worked my way homeward. The Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned to the Father of Abraham, the Shepherd. In the great I am. He's Jesus to me,
eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the father of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. He's Jesus to me. I have returned. He's Jesus to me. I have returned.
Amen. And the next song that we're going to have is Were You There? Yeah.
Tells us there were those there at the cruel cross, there at the cold stone grave, there trembling at the sacrifice made for our sins that day. Now go tell of the empty tomb, and that we now have a cause to glory, for he rose from the grave on the third day.
Well, I want to start off by reading an email, and I got this in. I got this one in today, and it makes a lot of sense. It says it starts off with Malachi 3:6, and I believe that I got that on a slide up there as well. Malachi 3:6 says, quote, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Psalms 102:27 says, "But you are the same, and your years have no end." Obedience to the Lord is our safeguard from being consumed. He is the Lord, and he does not change. His laws, his edicts, his ordinances, his commandments do not change. God proclaimed in Scripture that he does not change. That means his laws do not go away. God commanded Israel to be obedient in the observance of the Passover. That means the observance of the Passover doesn't go away. It's as simple as that. And when we gather together, I was listening to messages that Pastor Peters had done over the last 25 or 20 years on Passover, and he spoke on it on a number of times. And we've got a book entitled, I can't remember what the name of the book is. It's the book Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy on calculating the Passover. And it's a fantastic book. We've got that book available if you'd like more information on the Passover and the importance of it. I know that there's been several people that have recently read that book, and they had some questions on it, and was just encouraged that they're joining us for Passover. And I told them I told them that you don't have to join us. There's nothing special that we do here. But it's what we do is we gather out of obedience. We're commanded to keep this day. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's the most important day of the year. And Pastor Peters did a number of messages on it being the door day and entering into the protection for the upcoming year. And I just want to read some of the scriptures. I want to start off by reading in Exodus and chapter 12. And this is where we talk about the Passover, and basically it was, when Moses went to Pharaoh and made the journey, he was on a mission, and his mission was for his people, and it was let my people go. And I was thinking today, and I was we were sitting in my office a little bit ago, and I was telling Josh just, how privileged we are as a people to be observing the Passover and knowing that that's our forefathers. That's, our ancestry. That was our people. And if our people, if our forefathers, however many generations back, if they hadn't applied the blood to those doorposts and to those lintels, none of us would be here today. That we're offspring of that. And just how privileged we are to be able to know that that was our people. There's people that observe Passover. But it's a different people, and they don't understand and don't believe and don't know that those were our people. And to me, it was exciting and humbling just to read the story, because these are our people, and this is what they did. There's other Christian identity churches out there that know who we are and preach that message, but there's a lot of them that follow a different calendar, and they go with a different calendar. They keep Passover on a different day. And I really believe that this is one of the truths that has been given. And I think it's interesting because just being that this is the La Porte Church of Christ, and La Porte in French meaning the door, and we know that Passover is the door, and I think that there's a lot of significance about that and around that. And I want to start off by starting in Exodus 12. I'm going to begin in verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to the father's households, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one, according to the number of persons in them, in proportion to what each one should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning, you shall completely burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this way, with your garment belted around your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in a hurry. And it is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and fatally strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the human firstborn to the animals, and against all of the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will come upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day shall be a memorial to you and go ahead and put it up. Now this day shall be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove dough with yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast from it the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day you shall have a holy assembly and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except from what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. You shall also keep the feast of unleavened bread. For this very day I brought you, your multitudes, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 25th day of the month at evening. For 7 days there shall be no dough with yeast found in your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything with yeast in it in your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall keep this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised you, you shall keep this rite. And when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? Then you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, because he passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed and low and worshipped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh got up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, rise up and get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go. Worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and bless me also. The Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in a hurry, for they said, we will all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened with their kneading bowls, bound up in their clothes, their cloths on their shoulders. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptian articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Therefore they plundered the Egyptians. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, along with flocks and herds, a very large number of livestock. And they baked dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, into cakes and of unleavened bread, for it had no yeast, since they were driven out of Egypt, and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. Now the time that the sons of Israel had lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of the 430 years, on this very day, all the multitudes of the Lord departed from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be observed for the Lord, for having brought them out of the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord, to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner is to eat it, but as for every slave that someone has purchased with money, after you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A stranger or a hired worker shall not eat it. It is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring any of the meat outside of the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. All the congregation of Israel are to celebrate this. But if a stranger resides with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, all of his males are to be circumcised. And then he shall come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land. But no uncircumcised male may eat it. The same law shall apply to the native, to the stranger who resides among you. Then all of the sons of Israel did so. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, according to their multitudes. And it's quite a story. And to me, it's reading it today, it just every year, thinking about the Passover, it's like, you know, how is it possible that it's already April 2nd? And, you know, we don't slaughter and sacrifice a lamb. That lamb has been slaughtered and slain for us. We do come together to eat of his body and drink of his blood. And we remember the price that was paid for us and for our sins. And as we do that today, I thought that reading that is what we're supposed to do. That is observing the event. That was the events that took place and that's recorded and put down in Scripture so that we have access to. The other Scriptures that I wanted to read is found in Matthew 26, and I'm going to start in verse 1. When Jesus had finished all the words, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in their court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealing and killing him. But they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant, and when they saw this, and said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price, and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Dropping on down to verse 26, says, while they were eating, Jesus took some of the bread after he blessed it. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood for the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, I'm going to stop there. But and that's what we're here to do. We're here to remember. We're here to drink of his blood and eat of his flesh. And we're going to have a song, When I See the Blood. And while we have this song, ask that we'll be passing out the emblems here, and ask that you get yours ready also. When I See the Blood.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. Sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. Rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus in. Then God will pass over you. Passion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who obey are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to observe this important day as we are commanded to do. We pray, Father, that as we partake of communion this day in observance and out of obedience, we pray, Father, that you shine your face down upon us, Father, that you bless us, that you keep us, that you just do a mighty and awesome work over us. Father, we pray, Father, for the protection that you can grant us. We pray for the protection of Psalms 91 to be applied to our lives and to our households. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. Father, we come before you and we reverence you first and foremost. And we pray, Father, that we can be found purging the sin out of our lives. We pray, Father, that we can get it there. We pray, Father, that we can do better this year than we did last year. We pray that we can do better this week than we did last week. Lord, I'm thankful for the forgiveness that you've granted. And right now, I just plead that blood of Jesus Christ over us and over this land. And Lord, I pray, Father, that when you look down upon us, that you see that blood that has been applied to our lives. I pray that you give us more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. I pray, Father, that you deliver your people out of the hands of this dark world, Lord. Let us be different. Let us stand different. We pray, Father, for the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that as we observe this day, we pray, Father, that your people are healed, that they're healed of their sicknesses, of their diseases, of their afflictions. Lord, we pray, Father, for just a mighty and an awesome work. We pray, Father, just for your assistance and your guidance and your direction. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our church and over this ministry, and we just pray, Father, that you have your hands upon it. We pray, Father, that you give us wisdom. Lord, we know that we have not because we ask not. And Lord, we come and we ask for wisdom and we ask for guidance and we ask for direction, and we just pray that you grant it to us multiple times over. Lord, I pray for those out there that continue to make our efforts here and to keep the doors open at this tiny Northern Colorado church. I pray, Father, for all of these blessings to be poured out over them. Those, you know who they are, and you know the number of hairs on their head. Lord, you know each and every one of them. And Father, we're grateful for them, and we're thankful for them. And we just ask, Father, that you just continue to bless your people. Lord, we pray that you just give us more of a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray, Father, that as we come before you out of humility and out of obedience, we pray, Father, that we can obtain all the benefits of it. Lord, we're grateful for the price that was paid, and we come and we remember. We remember the beatings. We remember the crown of thorns that was placed on the head of our Savior. Oh, Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for all the blessings that you give us. We're thankful for the blessings that you give us each and every day that we don't stop. Thank you for. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we ask, Father, for your help. We pray, Father, that you give us a discerning spirit and that you help us to discern right and wrong, what is good and what is evil. Lord, we pray that you make us victorious in the fights that are before us. We pray, Father, that anything else that we need to be praying, we just ask for that Holy Spirit to bring that perfect prayer before your throne. Lord Jesus, we're grateful and we're thankful. Amen. All right, you may partake. I want to close out by reading Psalms 91. And I believe that when we observe the Passover, that all the protection of Psalms 91 is applied to our lives and to our households. And for those of you, we don't put blood on the doorposts or the linoleum, but I do believe that it's a good time. If you haven't done it in a while, it's a good time to anoint your homes, if possible, and try to make that a practice. Not going to say that I've done it every year, but I believe that there is a lot of blessings and a lot of protection that can be obtained from anointing your house. Psalms 91, the security of the one who trusts in the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. But he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you for being here, folks.
Well, I was raised a godly Christian boy. The love of my Lord Jesus was my joy. Then the world led me astray and into sin. And that's when all my troubles did begin. What a fool I was to think I could get by with only these 10 million tears I cried. I should have known the worst was yet to come, and that crying time for me had just begun. Then I fell down from my pedestal to the ground, and I asked the Lord to turn my life around and to restore the love I once had for him. And today I started loving him again. Today, won't you start loving him? Today, won't you leave your road of sin and love him, just love him, again. Well, today my wife and I start loving again. We'll renew our commitment where it all began and live our lives together apart from sin. Today we both start loving again. Yes, today I start loving him again. I'm right back where I should have always been. For I asked the Lord to change my heart, and I repented of my sin. And today I started loving him again. And today I started loving him again.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My Henry, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you tomorrow brings, it's not a day yet you have not seen. So in all things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less.
When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answer,
Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in blood all their strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us soared the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory, it's a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all girt about. Tremble beneath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before he shall know his name confessed in heaven. And onward from the hill of light, our hearts with love aflame will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, victory that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. This is the day, this is the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will his name be glad. Celebrate our King. Let his banner be raised. Let his glory be praised. We will celebrate our King. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made us. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.